Hi, I'm Max Moynihan of Future Earth.
And I'm Henry Lin of Better World. Better World is an exploration of badass people doing really cool things. The more we know about this world, the better we can do in changing
it. I believe the biggest challenge is changing the mindset. About 70% of people, if composting was available to them, they said they would do it. A lot outside of the U.S. understand right away, this is it. We need this solution. It makes sense. It's that mindset of, oh, I can just throw it out. That's the biggest challenge so far, changing the status quo. And I think that's for anything that's going to be environmental or challenges the norm of, as you said, this throwaway society that's been created.
Max, I am excited today because we get to talk about something which I don't think we spend enough time on. We used to talk a little bit about soil. In fact, we had a major soil event pre-COVID in 2019.
A major soil event.
It was a huge soil event. It was at the One Hotel. We discussed soil, and Therese, the climate optimist, guest hosted. But I also know it's near and dear to you. Didn't you at one point try and start a compost program in New York?
I did. I also have a t-shirt that says compost is sexy.
Tight.
Which I love.
Tight.
So I did. And composting was my at-home COVID project during the lockdown. It was very therapeutic, actually. I really enjoyed it.
The making of compost itself or the attempt to...
Making the compost itself. So now I'm realizing from what you're saying that composting has occurred in my life in the past few years at multiple scales. I did it at home. I tried to get a program going across residential buildings in Manhattan. I educate about it on Future Earth.
Literally all the things. She's saying she's a real compost fan. With us today, we have Mark from Pete. Mark, welcome to the pod.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here with both of you today.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this because Henry loves to email me, you know, a great deck every once in a while. And I got this deck about Pete. I was just like, this is cool.
Thanks.
Tell me more. And here we are.
And here we are.
Supermarkets, restaurants, colleges, and hospitals are some of the largest food wasters in New York, creating more than 2,500,000 tons of wasted food and food scraps each year, some of which is edible food that could be rescued instead of discarded. The NYDEC estimates that if these food scraps were diverted from landfills, a reduction of more than 120,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalents could be achieved each year. Wow. So it's a reduction of waste and a reduction of carbon dioxide. Max, would you like to tell us a little bit about what is PEAT?
I would love to talk about PEAT more. PEAT is simplifying the process of turning food scraps into compost in major urban markets by creating an infrastructure of compost digesters that turn food into soil in 24 hours. PEAT digesters are pieces of urban architecture that both elevate the look of where they are located while also educating the public on sustainability. By working with restaurants to help them comply with local laws and bolster sustainability efforts. With restaurant partners, PEAT can leverage marketing expertise to create a network effect, opening up digesters for consumer use and educating the market on the benefits of composting food. Ooh, I have so many questions.
So many. It's such like a large problem, and I can't wait to, you know, equate what it means when you get to the millions and billions of tons of carbon dioxide and sort of what that's saving. But Mark, welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hi again.
Tell us how you became obsessed with compost.
You know, it really kind of has stemmed from a lifetime of working in the hospitality industry. I've spent my entire career working in restaurants and high-end sports and entertainment. So you're looking at large events, things like concerts, sporting events, presidential conventions. And the amount of waste that not only is a usable meal at the end of it, but the amount of food scraps that go into a trash and then are transported off to a landfill has been a problem for some time now. And it really came together.
It's a problem because they turn into something harmful.
It does turn into something harmful. And my partners love hearing me quote this stat. So if you take your usual head of lettuce that's sitting on your counter and Max, you throw it into your compost pile in the back, it takes a couple weeks for it to turn into some sort of compostable soil. If you take that same head of lettuce and throw it into a landfill, it's 22 years because of the lack of oxygen, because of the plastics and the metals and everything else. And during that whole time, it's emitting greenhouse gases that are going into the atmosphere. So we're looking to it. Methane in particular.
Wow.
Got it.
So what we're doing is we're actually reducing those greenhouse gases. It's now being turned into composted soil in a matter of 24 hours instead of a period of 6 to 18 months. It's not being transported 4 hours outside of New York City or Baltimore or LA. It's being done right in the community. So not only are we eliminating the greenhouse gas and the methane and the CO2 emissions from everything that's being composted, we're also doing it from the transportation cost, the cost of turning it over every so often in a composting facility, the land usage that's being done. Well, we're doing it in a parking lot now.
Okay, so composting in 24 hours with digesters. What are these digesters? They're not worms.
They are not worms. It is actually some old technology being used in a new method. So they are anaerobic digesters. So a natural living bacteria, the food scraps go in, it gets powered on. And just think of a giant auger going through it. So it keeps on churning the food. The bacteria has more surface area to work. They're happy. They're eating this. They're breaking it down. They're producing heat, so there's energy coming off of that. A little bit of CO2, about a gallon of water. And if you take 1,000 pounds of food scraps, in 24 hours, you have 100 pounds of soil now.
Wow.
That's wild. And so when you said turning it over, like in the way that manual labor, you would need to physically be turning the compost pile mm-hmm. upside down every so often, this machine is doing that automatically?
Over the course of the day, yeah.
Okay. And then you don't need to like input greens and browns and all that other stuff. You just put the food waste and the anaerobic digesters.
Correct.
And water.
And that's it. And in 24 hours, you've got soil, which now we're also pulling, you know, the soil's now pulling carbon out of the atmosphere. We're reducing a whole lot of things. And then what we're also doing is we're measuring it all. So we know what the overall effect is of doing it in a process like this, as opposed to doing it, you know, over the course of 18 months.
That's beautiful. So you mentioned transportation, which I think is super interesting because, you know, living in Manhattan my whole entire life, I'm so aware of the city being the place of consumption and not of extraction or disposal of anything. You know, things are made, they come into the city, people use them, they disappear.
They go to Staten Island, I think.
Yeah. People might come after you for that, but we'll leave it in there. And so we're so not used to seeing how these things are disposed of or how they're even created. It's like, you know, when you ask a little kid in the city where an apple comes from and they say it comes from like the supermarket or something. So the transportation aspect is important for sustainability, to not be trucking all this food waste and soil back and forth. But I feel like people also must have this sense of like, I don't want a composter in my backyard. I don't want that's going to bring rats and, you know, stuff like that. Is that a perception that you're up against at all?
It really is sometimes. And it's one of the questions we come up against a lot is, you know, does it smell?
Right.
What about the insect and rodent? And so that's something, you know, in New York, that's called vector control. And by putting into one of these digesters, which basically looks like a shipping container, when it's stripped down to what it is in its raw state, everything goes in. There's no smell. The off off-put is water, and it actually helps with the vector control of the insects and the rats, because if anyone has lived in a New York City high-rise, you've got the garbage chute that just goes down to somewhere, and we've all seen the garbage room. It sits there. We know the smell on a 90-degree day like we're having today, and it's wide open.
Manhattan smells so bad right now.
So bad.
It's one of those things. So now not only are we controlling that smell, we're controlling the rat population that's going through everything. So that's getting cut down in a building. So we're making the city cleaner in a few different ways and at least smell better.
I love that. I mean, I noticed when I composted at home that if you're doing it right, it really never does smell.
Correct.
And smell is a great indication that you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. If it's got a lot of smell, it's been sitting for too long and it hasn't moved.
Once you guys have created the soil, where does it go?
Soil right now is a combination effort of things. So wherever houses one of the digesters. So we've got a confirmation from the Battery Park in New York. And because of local laws where insecticides can no longer be used on public property in New York City, it's going to be going back into the parks. It's going to be going back into the property for keeping up the grounds. It's going to be going to urban gardens. We're looking to create a full circle kind of sustainable economy off of this, where we're bringing a community garden back with food scraps that were created in the community, composted there, and then brought back to grow food again.
That's really wild. That's amazing.
It never leaves Manhattan.
It will never leave Manhattan or wherever the local community is.
But this is the pilot in Battery Park.
We have one in Battery Park. We have a couple of commercial and residential buildings that are signed on also. So we'll be starting full scale in September.
That's incredible. Okay, I want to scale back again and just go through you realizing this massive issue, connecting it to climate, and coming up with the idea of peat. Can you tell us a little bit more about that story?
Sure. It was actually brought to me by my co-founders. I had been working in the startup world of ghost kitchens and had partnered with my co-founders, Ryan and Sierra. And Ryan is really into socially conscious businesses. Started a while ago for him. And Sierra comes from San Francisco into New York. So San Francisco has one of the best composting programs in the nation. Came to New York and was kind of appalled at the lack of it in New York.
San Francisco shits on us.
And, you know, she basically said, you know, we've got to do something about this. And Ryan took a look at it and they called me about trash one day. And we spent 2 hours talking about garbage. And we just all realized it was one of those things where this is a massive problem, and where it starts the most is with restaurants, colleges, universities, mass food producers. And then it'll trickle down to the consumer level. But one of the things that helps us working with restaurants is they have the ability to reach their consumers and educate their consumers about how valuable recycling and composting their food scraps are.
That's really interesting, because I actually learned a lot from seeing that a place where I'd pick up lunch every day, so good, Lighthouse in Brooklyn.
Oh, that place
they
is
had
great.
Someone on a bike, yeah, so good, come on a bike and pick up the food scraps at the end of the day. And I would just ask this guy questions. And it really was a great learning experience for me.
I don't understand how it's sustainable, though, because you have so much food brought into the city. I mean, at some point, don't you have to export the compost?
At some point you do. And at scale, you know, the compost will be bagged and sold. Landscapers. One of the big ones we're talking to right now are grow facilities for the legal marijuana estates. Because they go through a ton of soil and it pulls all the nutrients out of that. So they have to keep on re-upping. So now they're going to be growing a more natural product with this. If you can get more natural than that, I don't even know. But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, at a full on scale, if we're 70 to 100 of these around the city, at some point, you know, there's going to be more dirt than space for New York, for Manhattan to handle. So
trash to drugs is tight.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. Out of curiosity, do you guys have partnerships currently with everyone that you need in New York or for placement? Or can you tell us a little bit about how you expand and you place the digester, you know, like the mechanics of how you select an area and, you know, all like the math that goes into it, I think is really interesting.
I mean, if he asks Ryan and I to do math on the spot, you're going to lose on that conversation because neither one of us can. But we partner with a lot of commercial and multifamily property management owners and firms because they've got the space for us. And that's one of the things that, you know, we need is just basically about 15 square feet of space for one of these. At that point, it's how many restaurants are nearby. When we partnered up with Just Salad, who was one of our first early partners, they realized this right away was going to be, you know, the future. They signed on right away, and it was a great partnership because they want to help educate the consumer. But also we started forming a restaurant coalition where X amount of restaurants will go in together and they will say, this is, we're all doing this. And now we're allowed to, because we've got a larger group, say Just Salad, say McDonald's in the future, who's got the money. Now we can say, great, now we can bring in the small guys who really couldn't afford to have, you know, this composting program for on their own. Now they can be helping out. Now the average consumer can, you know, look on their app for one of these restaurant groups and say, oh, if I bring my compost here and I enter in my code when I put my food scraps in, I'm going to get X dollars off when I hit so many points or so many pounds of composted food. So now they have brand loyalty through this also.
That's beyond wild to me. I would assume it's because the more compost that is actually produced, the more is sold back to the market, the more it offsets the cost of pickup, distribution, and processing?
Everything.
Right.
And now you're not, you know, while the food is being grown, it's not being, you're not using a lot of chemical fertilizers, chemical insecticides. We're replenishing the soil with natural nutrients. And we're basically, essentially rebuilding Earth's own soil.
That's amazing. So what are the estimates that you guys have for your impact?
You know, we're still looking at it, and there's a lot of numbers that are out there. And one of the ones that we look at a lot is on 1,000 kilograms of potatoes. And if you take that, about 55% of 1,000, so 2,500 pounds, goes to waste when it hits the consumer level. If just half of that waste gets composted, it's the equivalent of taking 168,000 cars off the road. So it's a massive impact.
Whoa. Okay. Do we know what, you know, your longer term goal is and what that looks like? What does it look like at scale for you guys?
Long term and at scale, you know, we're talking with municipalities, and to have this be a solution for cities, smaller municipalities, we're in conversations with the state of California where, you know, they have laws in place where this is going to happen, but their laws have also stated, you know, there are certain things that they have to do as far as building a compost facility within their community. And it's expensive. It can be anywhere from $50 to $150 million.
Wow.
Which on a smaller community can be very, very taxing.
How much is an individual digester right now?
Yeah, Max wants one for her home.
Yeah. Can
well,
I buy one?
They come as small as 20 pounds of food scraps, so we could find you one. We have a range of 20 pounds up to 2,500 pounds. So on a 2,500 pound, it generally runs around $100,000. And they've got about a 15-year lifespan. Maintenance is very low on them. And, you know, when you look at, say, for a small municipality buying two to three of these, you know, we're looking at $300,000 as opposed to building a compost facility where you've got to buy land, put the infrastructure in, do the plate, do the building, hire all the people, and then the maintenance and the turnover and everything that goes into it. We're looking at, you know, $50 million right there on a small size facility. So it's 300,000 or, you know, $50 million. And the overall greenhouse emissions of getting it out there is huge. So again, back to scale, we're looking at, you know, working with cities and states. We have a lot of investment from foreign outside U.S. Companies and investors because they understand it better. There's a real, and this is one of our greatest challenges, is we're challenging the mindset of just throw it out. It just needs to be thrown out. That's one of our greatest challenges. And a lot outside of the U.S. understand right away, this is it. We need this solution. It makes sense. And we're going to be doing this. And if we tell people to do it, they're going to do it. The U.S. is a tougher market to crack on that, not only on the consumer, on the investor side, but then also, you know, changing, working with those municipalities to change the mindset, which is the hardest and easiest way to change the mindset.
Well, we invented throwaway culture. So I think it's very obvious that it's going to be the hardest for Americans to change the mindset, which is why I love Pete as like a educational piece and just seeing how it can really change people's habits. Like, yes, throwing food in a landfill is a massive problem and we should divert it to compost, but also we shouldn't waste food. So it all kind of plays into each other.
We're an international team to begin with, and we have developers in that we're working with in Bangalore, India. And when we talked to them about this in the beginning, they laughed at us and they said, we are in a developing country. We are here. And they were educated in the U.S. and they went back and they said, you know, it's illegal to throw our food scraps into the trash here.
Right.
You know, we're already doing this. And you're there in the United States, the so-called most wealthiest nation in the world. And you guys haven't figured this out yet.
Yeah, we're literally criminal for how much food we throw away. So I just think that that piece of it is so interesting. Like, as composting, the technology gets better, it doesn't have to be this offsite massive facility that nobody can really see or access. Like, you're scaling it down to 15 by 15 square feet. Is that what you said?
Correct. Yeah. And it's largest size.
Okay. And then, you know, I'm getting like Instagram ads all day right now. Definitely algorithms working for like at home little composting machines that you can have on your countertop. And as these things can scale into like an individual's life, I mean, I love the idea of, I love just salad. And if I go drop off my compost at the local digester, I'm going to get credits and a free salad every once in a while. Like, those incentives and those learnings, I really hope would also just help people change their lifestyle and be more mindful of the food, not only that they're throwing away, but that they're just like over consuming. Like, divert from landfill, yes, but also like, can I waste less? Can I be more efficient about what I buy? That kind of thinking too. Even though I don't think that that problem is really on an individual scale, right? It's like the restaurants and the supermarkets more than the individual. I don't want to blame the individual, but it was a train of thought.
It's out there. You know, and one of our bonus perks of these digesters is we can take a lot more than a traditional composting facility. So where they're just taking X and Y and they're saying we can't have protein products in there, we can't have pet waste in there, we can't have this in there. Ours can pretty much take anything because of the bacteria breaking everything down. So, you know, for talking to a city like Miami, where we're saying we could put these smart bins out and we have a freebie where you can drop your pet waste in there. Now they're not dealing with that problem anymore either.
That's so cool. Cause actually, like, I had to write on the compost bin in my house, this is vegan. And nobody would understand. Kept getting chicken bones. And
Sierra, our other co-founder, keeps hers in her freezer and drops it off to her local composting pickup in Brooklyn once a week. So she's got different bins for each one in her freezer. But she's like, you know, this is my composting in the freezer until I take it to the local pick drop center.
Yeah, I do that too. That's a great pro tip. Leave it in the freezer, drop it off at the farmer's market. I'm curious to know what are, because now we're just like getting on the challenge of getting people to even do it right. and habit forming and stuff, but just generally, what are some of the challenges that you've been facing in general?
As I said before, I believe the biggest challenge is changing the mindset. About 70% of people, if they composting was available to them, they said they would do it. But because it's not, and I come from a generation where I remember when recycling started, and all of a sudden you had this new bin, and you know, my mom's telling me you got to pull that out of the trash and wash that, and that's got to go in this bin, and that goes out on a separate
thing. Love mom.
Yeah. And it was one of those of, okay, well, we got to do this now, but it's that mindset of, oh, I can just throw it out. That's the biggest challenge so far, is changing the status quo. And I think that's for anything that's going to be environmental or challenges the norm of, as you said, this throwaway society that's been created.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the obvious answer. It's crazy. It all comes down to will at the end of the day.
It really does.
We have all the solutions. They're ready to go. We just have to do them and want to do them. I had a similar situation with some residential buildings in Manhattan that I was trying to pilot something like this. This was 3 years ago. So Pete wasn't around, I don't think.
No, we weren't around yet.
There you go. And we did a survey with the residents, and so many people said that they were willing to do it. And there wasn't like a good enough system that I could come up with to get the building to be on board. They were like, this is extra work. It's, you know, the smell thing came up a bunch of times. They were just like, we don't need another headache. No, Max.
Yeah, it's one of those, but now the buildings are now seeing we have to do this. Not only do the residents want it, but laws are coming down and saying you have to do this. And that's, unfortunately, that's what has to drive them to do this.
But that's like a crazy thing. If the laws are saying restaurants have to do this, but not providing the infrastructure to do it, is that what's happening?
That's what's happening. So we are providing the infrastructure for them.
So what is the city expecting people to do when they say you must compost and they're in the middle of Manhattan and there's literally no infrastructure for them?
Well, that's why we're working with the city of Manhattan and hoping the new mayor might have a little bit of a sanitation background for us.
Ooh, it was a plug.
It might have been a plug.
Yep, shots fired.
Yeah, I mean, chicken and egg thing, I guess. Make the law and then make the infrastructure. It doesn't sound right, but I'll take it.
It's one of those. And, I've talked with the city of Baltimore, Miami, the state of California, and it's really kind of all the same. It's like, okay, here's the chicken. Now we got to go back and figure out how it got here. And that's why, we're working with a lot of municipalities, because they're saying we wrote this, but we had no clue how we were going to implement it.
Right. Makes so much sense. Okay, I want to get a little bit granular here for restaurant owners and for residential building operators.
Sure.
Where are these things in Manhattan right now?
As far as where our locations are?
Yes.
We'll have our first one launched. It's going to be 437 Madison. It is a state Sage Realty property. So we will have a couple of, right now we've got, I think about 6 or 7 restaurants that are going to be going into that. And we'll have enough room on a daily basis where if consumers in the building, residential, wanted to compost, we would have room enough where they would be able to put their compost in, their food scraps in for composting.
So it's in a residential building. The residents can use it. The local restaurants are walking over with some bags of compost every day through the residential building and disposing of the compost. Or not disposing of. I would like to say, what's the right word? Composting.
It's basically depositing.
Depositing. There we go.
Yeah, so it's a concierge service where some foot hauler goes by. So we're no more greenhouse emissions from a massive truck stopping by to pick it up. So a foot hauler comes by, picks up from 6-7 restaurants, goes, pops in their code, drops their deposits their food scraps into the digester, And, you know, at a certain time in the night, it starts up. And these will run six days a week. So again, you know, we're looking at 1,000 pounds of, you know, composite soil over the course of 10 days.
I would love nothing more than to live in a Manhattan version of Manhattan where you see bike messenger foot haulers walking around the corner with the compost, and that is eliminating the garbage truck and just truck traffic in the city to like by a lot. I mean, this could really reduce the truck issue in Manhattan.
Talking with the city of Baltimore last week, they have to drive, the closest compost facility is 45 minutes outside of the city limit of Baltimore.
It almost negates all the good, right?
It really does. It really does. So, you know, you're doing a 6-hour round trip in a diesel burning vehicle times X amount of trucks. In Boston, it's going up to Maine. So again, there's another 6-hour trip, but there's, you know, there's us, there's other local smaller ones that are offering the compost, you know, on a different scale in that, to try to keep it into a micro or a nano community. And really that's what we're looking to build, is a nano community of composters throughout major metropolitan areas.
I love this.
So out of curiosity, what is the next step for you guys in the short term? You know, like there's a chicken and egg here, right? Is it digester or is it restaurant?
So we start up in September, and it's pretty much, once that's going, we have the partnerships in place. So it's kind of full on scale, and really we're just building out, because Manhattan's always going to be our, no matter what you do, Manhattan is going to be the toughest place to build infrastructure when you need space. So it's basically we're working in production right now of getting these spaces ready and getting the machines ready to fit those spaces. At that point, it's just a matter of turning them on.
Sick.
Super sick.
Max, do you have any additional questions for our guest before we start talking a little bit about how we're going to help the user and the Manhattan resident start to change their behavior?
I have no further questions. Let's get to that.
No further questions. Cross-examination complete. I'm interested, because I see another chicken and egg here, as to whether or not we encourage the user to go the route of bringing to restaurant first, or, you know, do they lobby their building, or what's the way that the user can...
Oh my God, don't encourage people to lobby their buildings. I work in real estate. Thank you.
Perhaps you should have some digesters, Max.
I would love to have digesters.
You know, it's really about us building our relationships and, you know, educating the consumer through the restaurant program. And at that point, it's one of the things that we're looking at for multifamily properties, for municipalities, where you can have a smart bin where it looks like a general trash can, and you can deposit in, scan your phone, here's your QR code. It'll give you how you're offsetting your carbon footprint, you know, by, you know, the amount of waste that you're composting. You can do it through restaurant apps, you know, that we partner with. And at that point, it's a general education program, again, that we're doing not only through the restaurants, but the residential building. And it's going to be talking to, you know, going out into newsletters of that monthly message board thing you get from the building that you live in, where they're saying, hey, we have this new thing, or you have to do this now, or, you know, your food scraps now go into this bin and the porters come by and pick those up on Tuesdays.
And how do you, at that point, ensure sorting? Because it makes sense at the restaurant level, right? You know, those guys don't screw around, but on the residential level, it's hard.
Again, it's going back to the early days of recycling. This goes into this bin, this goes into this bin. And it's, you know, the good thing is, you know, if something can't be composted, there's a screen that comes up, and anything that wasn't composted just gets pushed onto that screen, and that gets emptied out, and then it can go into the recycling. It can go into the regular trash.
Got it. So it sounds like our New York listeners are the first, but subsequent US-wide listeners Or, you know, some of our international listeners are already doing it and wondering what the hell we're waiting for.
Yeah, we're looking at, you know, a lot of, you know, again, foreign markets because everyone gets it.
Is there, for those folks, is there a way for them to register with Peat and express their interest? Are you guys collecting these folks who have shown interest in the program?
You know, it's been really early on, and we've had a lot of people come straight to us. So it's kind of through our website, hellopeat.com. And if you're looking for more information, you can find it there. But yeah, a lot of people, it's been word of mouth and, you know, kind of, hey, you guys are doing something cool here.
Excellent. I would love to follow up with you again in, you know, like 6 months. I assume that you guys, or a year, I assume that you guys are going to have a tremendous amount of traction, but I think it would be really fun to see and hear about the growth. And if there's anything else that you can think of in the short term that you want to leave for our listeners, you know, if you want them to visit website or follow on the gram, now is the time to do the old plug.
You know, I think the biggest thing is, again, you know, check us out at hellopeat.com and, you know, find your local composting program. That's the bigger thing here, that while we're here to do this and it's a business and that, we're trying to save our environment. And more than anything else, that's what's important. So recycle your food scraps, find your local composting facility, and would love to reconnect in 6 months and tell you, you know, how much soil we're producing and how much greenhouse gas we're taking out of the atmosphere.
There it is, the big takeaway. Just recycle your food, people. Max, what do you think?
I'm so excited. I might have trailed off in my mind a little bit thinking about like a future where we have pneumatic tubes where you're in your apartment, you just put your food scrap and it goes straight into a digester in the basement, and then anyone can come pick up the soil and use it. Or like the machine in the process was paying for itself because someone was actually purchasing the compost.
Max is going all Jetsons here, but she's definitely making composting sound sexy. So,
right.
She's really great at that, actually. That's kind of her wheelhouse. Just she lives in the future. Just takes it there. Mark, thank you very, very much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
We appreciate having you on Better World, and we love what you're up to. I'm Henry Lin.
And I'm Max Moynihan.
Please join us again for another episode of Better World and listen to how you can help make the world better.
Better?
Better.